gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
15 Minutes of Fame is a newly commissioned collective video work by artist collective The Killing, currently showing at Plomacy Gallery. The Killing has developed a signature style as an artist collective, which embodies and explores playfulness, naivety, queerness, and honouring the inner child in their joint practice. Their video work, 15 Minutes of Fame, is set within the premise that everyone is world famous for 15 minutes in the future, interrogating the politics of being seen, perceived, and the hunger for fame. I caught up with members Venus Blacklaws and Daniela Bay about the show. Just to kind of start off our kōrero, for those who don't know who The Killing is, how would you guys kind of introduce yourself as an artist collective, and how did you come together as a group?
We always say we're friends first. Yeah. We're just friends in Elam.
Yeah.
You go.
Well, just besties at Elam. We actually got grouped. Most of us got grouped together at Elam for
the first module.
Yeah. And then we just worked really well together and grew a friendship there. And then we found more friends. And then here we are.
It was kind of born out of like, we all were really angsty teenagers in the institution, and then all sort of like, we did really well, but also sort of felt like outsiders a bit in terms of like meshing with everyone. And so I feel like that's kind of what just drew us together. And then, you know, your friends are just become your family. So we kind of have just stuck together like that. But when we kind of tell people what The Killing is, it's like, we're just a bunch of friends who are making art together and kind of have like shared purposes.
I did want to ask like what you guys kind of each bring to the group. Do you come from quite different artistic backgrounds and skills and knowledge, or is it quite similar?
We're all really different.
Really different.
Yeah.
But there's lots of intersections, like I think thematically, and like we will intersect, like we'll do the same, I guess, medium or mode of making, but we're bringing our own sort of like method to it, if that makes sense.
Like some of us are performers, and then even in fashion they're really great at actual sewing and craft, and then some of us are really amazing at painting, and others are amazing at sculpture. But I don't know, like when we do like installations together, we all make together and make each other better.
There's kind of this dynamic of like when we're working through The Killing, we tend to make like collective work, and then we have our own practices that sort of, I guess, like feed into the interests of the work. And so I think a lot of our process working collectively is like figuring out where we can meet on something, especially like if it's like, you know, we're making some like Aotearoa Contemporary as an example, was like something that we had to find a way to like meet in the together to reproduce something that already had worked. But it's always like recontextualized by where we all are in our lives and in our own practices, which is why I think our work is kind of becoming a little bit more experimental, I guess.
Totally. I did want to flesh out this idea of friendship a little bit more, because it is such a underlying theme of your work and who you guys are as a collective. What is kind of your experience of working with your friends? Because I feel like, I don't know, it can kind of be hard to like strike a balance sometimes. Do you feel like you have like a separate working relationship, or is it really intertwined with your personal relationships as well?
Well, I think it's like changed and evolved over time, but it's always friends first. And then
you kind of get these complicated things where like it's friendship first, but then if someone like if there's something that happens in the working process that like someone might let you down, or like maybe someone's working like overworking, or like things like that, like they affect the friendship, but like the friendship comes first, you know what I mean? So when we have like, I guess what some people would have is like a problem in like a working relationship, for us it's like a problem in the friendship, because I think part of our practice is like and our friendship is like our commitment to this practice and to this like thing that is The Killing. Like I think it's almost like the root of the relationship is like the commitment to the friendship, and the practice is the friendship. Does that make sense?
Totally. I think that's a really beautiful way of looking at it, but I'm sure it has its complexities that come with that.
We always have a debrief after a show. Like after it, we have to like wait for the debrief sometimes to be like, okay, like this is the dedicated time to like hash these things out, yeah. because and like, so always having to kind of communicate with each other and be like, well, this is how I want to work versus this is how I want to work, and like those kinds of things.
Good to have those structures in place. Just before we start talking about this work at Plomacy at the moment, I did want to ask where the name The Killing came from, because it's kind of ominous. Like, what's kind of the origin story with that?
Well, it's just our group chat name from first year. And it was literally, we had a fantasy flat, and the fantasy flat was called The Killing. But we never had that flat together, but we all have lived with each other
at different times.
We always said if we were all to live together, it would be The Killing House. Because
The Killing group chat famously though was like, it originally had different members that are no longer in The Killing, and it had like this fried Michael Jackson like horror, you know, that meme, and it's like Michael Jackson is like red, deep fried, and it's like scary. Yeah, that was the profile picture. Yeah. And famously, I actually wasn't added into The Killing group chat until third year of Elim in COVID, and purely because it was just getting annoying having to communicate to me what was being said in the group chat.
Yeah.
But there was like I was like the first white person allowed in The Killing. but so I think that it's like the group chat was the name of it. But I think now in our practice, we're always like conscious of the way that we have become desensitized to the name.
Yeah.
And so we don't always like realize how crazy a sentence sounds until someone else like kind of reacts to it.
Yeah.
So like we had this thing in the video where we were going to have it say you're watching The Killing, but
and
then
we're like, oh, that's a scary sentence for other people.
But I think like also because there's so much like softness and play in our practice and in our work, like the name really almost like it lives as this juxtaposition all the time, because it's like so the opposite of what we're doing.
I did want to talk, of course, about this current exhibition at Plomacy, 15 Minutes of Fame. It's a collective video work made up of 15 one-minute scenes spliced, layered, and cut into each other, exploring the premise that everyone is famous for 15 minutes in the future. Before we kind of flesh out some of the ideas within the work, do you want to start by kind of introducing the work as a whole and kind of walking us through the kind of storyline it takes from start to finish?
Is there even a storyline?
I think purposefully there's no storyline. Mm. Or if there is, you really have to do a lot of work to try to pull it apart. We were like approached by Steph to make the video. And the first thing that we sort of, I think, always think about is how to change the space. Because like, I think that our practice is very anti like white walled gallery space and very anti like the gallery as like a institution that you visit and then leave. So our first initial ideas were to turn the space into like a gym or
like a kebab shop,
or like a fried chicken shop, and for us to have the video work be like a tiny TV up on the corner, like so that it was like the video was almost like part of creating a sense of space rather than the video being the space. So originally we were working on like making music videos, and we were going to remake the music videos and sing them. But then as we started to film, we realized how much there was so much more like interest in the embodiment and the characters and the dressing up. But so then we went from there, like we just kind of were obsessed with these like skits and like the acting and the silliness. And so then Daniela and Tristan like pitched to us the concept of 15 minutes of fame, because originally we were going to do 3 music videos each, but then we went to like 3
just
references or pieces of pop culture that kind of play with this idea. And I think the embodiment and like the characterization and like the using our, what did you say before, not our, like our image as the vehicle, kind of got us to that point of thinking about our own relationship with being perceived and our own relationship with like this idea of success or like being consumed as like media as well, like as our artwork and as our, I guess, like selves being like part of this machine of consuming media and like what that means in terms of being seen. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but
it just
came out of itself. Like we kind of had to listen to what it wanted to become.
Yeah.
And that kind of followed through the whole process, like right down to the editing, where it kind of, I think that it needed to dissolve, like it needed to become a soup, soup or model, like a soup rather than a model, you know, like it needed to be more, no storyline and I guess no sense of clarity.
Yeah, as you're kind of saying, this work kind of traces through these different illustrations of virality while embracing distortion, absurdity, and disruption in their representation. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the specific inspirations that you drew from in this and the intention of how you wanted to represent them.
All of us had different references and what we really wanted to do. So everyone has a different relationship with the piece of media that we directed. So I guess my ones were really based on, like, I don't know, One Direction and and Drake and Dr. Phil. So it was
Daniela wanted to be a man.
Yes,
she wanted to be a man.
Yeah, I just wanted to dress up and be in a bald cap, really. And I don't know, for me, it's quite a, you know, like I'm a girly girl, and I'm not very performative in whatever. So this was kind of a way for me to
flex that muscle.
Yeah, and a way for me to really like get away from what my image is, my personal image. So for me, that was my driving force.
Yeah.
We looked
at like Cindy Sherman is an obvious like example of this kind of like embodiment or like characterization through like drag elements. But we also looked at like parody videos from like the early 2000s. Yeah. Like there's this one where it's like, they're making fun of like Lady Gaga and they make this whole new song that's like
The Key of Awesome.
Yeah,
you guys
The Key of Awesome.
That?
And these sorts of like moments of that moment of the internet when parody of the thing was just as popular as the thing. And I think as well, like that we kind of wanted to have that tongue in cheek thing about whether it was in good faith or not. And so we pulled these different kind of references that were like we all thought, like we would pitch them to each other as well to be like, do you think this is like enough of a moment in culture to pick up? And then they all kind of had their own like connotations that we all kind of brought. So it helped us to bring in our own interests into the video work, but then we kind of express them like collectively through the way we mesh them.
Yeah,
I think it was like part of the process for it to be kind of bad and like for it to feel janky and like a bit cheap, because it's kind of like, I think lends to the sense of the way that media is reproduced and like mass produced, like makes it janky and cheap because there's like, you want to do it fast and you want to pump out as much as you can, and you want people to stare at their screen for long enough, like as long as they can. So you want them to keep watching more things. So it's kind of like that element to the making of it as well.
On a general note, how do you guys kind of see these ideas of playfulness and naivety that kind of underlie your visual signature as a group in creating work that is very bold and bright and camp? How do you kind of see that sit in the wider context of contemporary art in Aotearoa?
That's a big question.
I think we have like these dualities of feelings about it, because we both feel like we're not taken seriously at all, but then also there's this huge part of us that doesn't want to be taken seriously in quotation marks, because I think that our practice and our approach to making does disrupt the narratives about what should be important in contemporary art and what is valued, especially traditionally, because like, you know, traditionally contemporary art is very, you know, about like this dedication, devotion to a significant practice and being like, yes, cerebral. And like, I think that we kind of mess with that by always changing the way that we're making and always trying to kind of force play. Force play sounds crazy, but like, you know, we don't like to be comfortable. Like we like to have to sort of be reactive and responsive, and we like the work to be exciting and inviting. So that's why it's saturated and it's kooky and it's like silly, is because I think ultimately too, there's this thing about we want people to come and see the work and to engage with the work, the people who are not already in the contemporary art space. Like we make work for people, not for art collectors or like artists, you know, like, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think that that's just where collective practice kind of comes in, is like disrupting those, like, I guess, like main structures of like what's proper and what's not.